So, what are we talking about?
Patience.
The fruit of the Spirit, right? And so, we'll start with that famous verse that we've been looking at now. This is our fourth week. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we're all done, you should have this verse memorized because you're going to hear it over and over. You're going to hear it seven more times after tonight, or five more times after tonight. So we're going to continue this journey through the fruit of the Spirit. As a refresher, we talked about love first. We discussed that the love that this verse talks about is the love that requires action. It's not that warm, fuzzy, bubbly feeling that we have when we see somebody that's attractive or when we feel love, but it's that choice or that decision that we make. It's not an emotion or a feeling, but something that we have to do. It's an action and something we have to live out. And we can do that kind of love because we have the Spirit of Christ within us that gives us the ability to do that kind of love. Secondly, we talked about joy. And we talked about the fact that the happiness of this world is conditional on circumstance. Remember, the word happiness is based off the word happenstance. So I'm happy because of a circumstance. And so, if our joy comes from the Spirit within us, we can be joyous and happy regardless of our circumstances. If we find joy in just our circumstances, we're not going to be happy very often, because not always are our circumstances very joyful. And our joy comes from the Spirit again. That's why it's one of the fruit of the Spirit of Christ within us. And we can be joyous and happy regardless of our circumstances. Our joy, I already said that, didn't I? We can be joyful because we know that He came to earth, He died for us, and He died to forgive our sins, and He lives inside us. And that's where that true joy comes from. Last week we just discussed peace, and we said that in order to have the inner peace that Christ gives, we need to do everything we do in the Lord, and we need to include God in everything that we do, and we must remember what God has done for us in the past, before. And so tonight we're talking about forbearance. In the NIV version, the next fruit of the Spirit is forbearance, but it's the same word as patience. So when you think of forbearance, I'm going to use the word patience tonight. So we're going to discuss patience, but forbearance and patience are the same thing. So when you hear the word patience, just the word that in itself, most of us are reminded that we probably haven't arrived where we need to as far as patience. Right, Jimmy? And you can be 72 years old and you still need to develop patience. And I don't care who you are, I know that you sometimes struggle with patience. Everyone in here in the room does. It doesn't matter how old you are. There are times that other people get to you. And that's usually the try of patience. We're a very impatient people. If you don't believe it, consider the statistic. The annual cost of people running red lights in the United States is $7 billion. The average wait time to save, or the average time saved by running a red light is 50 seconds. So if you run a red light, you're going to save maybe 50 seconds. But it's cost our country $7 billion. Isn't that crazy? So for 50 seconds, we're going to spend $7 billion. It just shows how impatient we are. We're always trying to figure out how we can cram more and more things that need to get done in less and less time. We allow less and less time for things. We don't want to waste time because we feel all the pressure, and it's pressure usually that we put on ourselves, of all that we think, not all that we have to get done, but all we think we have to get done, or because people are always on your back to get things done. But that's another story. The time... The time crunch is felt by nearly everybody. We all feel like we don't have enough time. And the older you get, the less time you feel you have. You know, there's a church in Florida that advertises a 22-minute church service. They promise that 22 minutes after service begins, you'll be dismissed. So their songs are fast, their prayers are quick, and the sermons are only 8 minutes. So don't get your hopes up. It probably won't happen here. But what I'm trying to touch on the fact that patience is especially difficult in our culture, even in the church, when a church has to, in order to get people to come, to say, okay, but from the time you walk in the door till you go out, we guarantee 22 minutes. Isn't that sad? We all feel that we have so many things to do. So think about with me for a moment. Don't you get the most impatient when you're feeling more pressure? So the more pressure that you have on your lives, and the more impatience you start to feel. I suspect that probably you experience those emotions and those struggles with pressure. I do. I know the more pressure I get, the more impatient I get. There are many people who, you know, as we looked at these last fruits of the Spirit, you know, some say, well, I can relate to all those because I've been a Christian a while and I don't have a problem loving people. And I've been a Christian a while and I know the joy that Christ puts in my life and I've experienced that, so I get that. And I understand peace and I understand the struggle and I really don't lack harmony and peace. But there's probably not a person in this room who doesn't wish that they had more patience. If you do, you can leave. So again, the fruit of the Spirit. So Bible scholar John Scott made an observation about the fruits of the Spirit. And I came across this week. And he divides the fruit of the Spirit up. This is a little bit off patience, but this is talking about the fruit of the Spirit. So I wanted you to see this. He divides them into three groups. And the first group of the love, joy, and peace speak of our attitude towards God and our relationship with God. The second three, which is we're starting the first one tonight, relates primarily to our attitudes towards other people, patience, kindness, and goodness. And the final three, fruits of the Spirit, reflect an attitude towards ourself, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So we'll go through that again, but I thought that was interesting. So what is patience? There's a number of definitions for patience that people have come up with that may help us understand what patience is. I'm going to read a few. Maybe one of them will click with you. The first one's a bit humorous, although I think each one of us is able to relate to it. Patience is the ability to put up with people you'd like to put down. Patience is the ability to put up with people that you'd like to put down. The next one, patience is accepting a difficult situation without giving Patience is accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to remove it. Patience is accepting a difficult situation without giving God a deadline to remove it. Patience is an inner calmness that comes from the knowledge that God is in control. Patience is the inner calmness that comes from the knowledge that God is in control. There are three words in Scripture, three Greek words in the New Testament that are translated into patience. And I want to just run through those real quick. The third one is the one that we're going to talk about, seeing as that's the one that's found in Galatians 5. But the first one, and I'm not going to pronounce the words, so don't ask me to, but means to uphold. And it's used in Ephesians 4. It says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for others in love. So the word we're looking at here is translated tolerance. And in the King James, it's forbearing, and in the NIV, it says, bear with. The idea is to sustain or patiently bear with something or someone else. So question. To uphold. That one I think is coming in a minute.
Okay.
So, but this one is to patiently bear with something or someone else. The next one is under abide, which is used in James. So this is probably the one that you're referring to, Dorothy. Knowing that the testing of your pace produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So the word, again, we're looking at here, the word endurance is also means patience. The idea is that it's the patience that bears under a load of pressure. So that's the one you're looking for. And
this is James.
Yeah, I have them backwards.
Okay.
Yeah, this is supposed to be Ephesians 4, 1 and 2.
Okay.
And this is supposed to be James 1, 3 through 4.
Okay.
I had them backwards on there.
That's fine.
I read them in the right order. They're displayed in the wrong order. So this one should say Ephesians. The first one, the first one we talked about,
gotcha.
Uphold, should be Ephesians 4, 1 and 2.
That's what I thought.
And under abide should be James 1, 3 through 4.
Okay.
That's right. So again, it's the idea that it's patience that bears up under a load or provides steadiness in the midst of life, of your life battles. It's being able to endure life's battles. The patience that allows a person to endure life's challenges without giving up and going home in defeat. And there's little difference between these two kinds of patience that we just talked about, but both deal with hanging on during difficult times. One is with people, the other is under certain situations. So the third one is the one we're going to talk about the most tonight. And the Greek word is there, but it means slow to anger. And so in Galatians, when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, that word patience, so in Galatians 5, it's Galatians 5, 23 and 24. I didn't put it back up here again. But that word means to slow to anger. So it means slow to get mad, as you probably... the opposite of a short fuse is a good way to look at that. So that's the key word that we're looking at in the fruit of the Spirit. The other two come along, that's fruit. There's more fruit than the fruit of the Spirit versus show. But the word we're looking at tonight refers to that short temper or that short fuse, the patience that causes us to endure, have a long fuse. It's the idea of patience in the form that we typically think about. So when you think I'm impatient, it's usually because you're in a rush and in a hurry, and you have a short fuse. It's usually not that you're just stressed because of a burden. So when you tell somebody, be patient, I'll be right there, this is the patience that we're talking about, okay? It involves not flying off the handle over little things, right? Okay, I like the way one Bible scholar described it, which is what I put up here. It means slow to get mad. In other words, the opposite of a short fuse. Okay, it's not getting irritated over the little things in life that are so much of our every part of our day. You know, there's some people that all these little things that we come up against, they're always just impatient and angry. It's hanging on to our emotions when we feel like flying off the handle over all those silly little things that so often get on our nerves. So sometimes that can be a real challenge, can it? I think we all deal with that. Let me give you an example. A man noticed a lady in the grocery store with her 2-year-old in the cart, and the child asked for cookies, and her mother said no. And you know what's going to happen, right? The little girl began to cry loudly, and the mother patiently said very quietly, "Now, Missy, we're halfway done. It won't be long." And the same thing happened in the candy aisle. And this time the girl kicked and screamed. And the mother said, "There, there, Missy, only 2 more aisles and we'll be all done." And at the checkout counter, the girl reached for the gum. And when mom said no, she began to scream louder than ever. And the mother said patiently, "Missy, we'll be through the checkout stand in 5 minutes and then we can go home and we can both have a little nap." And so the man followed them out to the parking lot and he complimented the woman. He said, "I couldn't help noticing how patient you were with little Missy." And the mother replied, "Thank you, but my little girl is Francine. I'm Missy." So that's patience. So she's telling herself, in the sense, that everything's going to be okay, I don't need to throw off the handle, da 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 da. So that's a good example of the patience that we're talking about. My favorite definition, though, was patience is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. Patience is a calm endurance based on, and actually I shouldn't have put the word endurance in there because that's the same word. Patience is a calm patience based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. So where does patience come from? The Bible is very clear when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit. Where does it come from? The Holy Spirit. Brilliant, right? All these traits come from the Holy Spirit, not our power. Now, that doesn't mean, of course, that a person who lives in the world and is not a Christian can't have patience, or they can't have love, or they can't have joy. But it does mean that with God's help, these characteristics should be part of every Christian's life. They're not an option. So as we go through the fruit, these aren't options for Christians. If we have the Holy Spirit in us, these should be part of our lives. If we live in the world, we don't necessarily expect that of people in the world. But if we have Christ in us, it should be part of our lives. There should be no question about that. The reason we can have patience from God is that God has the corner of the market on patience. When you look at the stories in the Bible, you can easily see how God operates on a totally different timetable than we do, doesn't he? His time is not our time. We find ourselves bent out of shape because things don't happen as quickly as we'd like them to happen. And the truth of the matter is that God doesn't work at the same speed we want him to work. 25, and I'm going to touch on each one of these, but here's just a quick list of what I'm going to touch on. 25 years passed before Abraham and Sarah had Isaac. The only land that Abraham owned in his lifetime was a cemetery plot. Israel didn't become a great nation for 900 years. David was anointed king, and then Saul chased him for years. Jesus waited 30 years after his birth to begin his public ministry. The psalmist wasn't joking when he wrote that 1,000 years to God is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years, right? The way God does things is completely different than the way you and I normally would do things. We usually want to tell God how to do things and say, God, why don't you do it my way? But we know, if we've been Christians long enough, that he has his time his timetable to do things. We're usually ready for him to get done what he needs to get done yesterday. Well, on God's timetable, it's very different. He's never in a hurry. He's very patient. So God is a perfect example of patience. So the story of Abraham, when he was 75, he was promised, God promised that he would make him a great nation. And so Isaac wasn't born till he was 75, I think. Yeah, he was 85. You're right, 100. So very few fathers wait until they're 75 to begin a family. So actually, Abraham was 75 when God promised it, but he was 100 when it occurred. So God promised Abraham at the age of 75 that he would have a great nation. So you would think that God would get busy, and because at 75, a 75-year-old dad is pretty old, right? But 25 years passed before Abraham and Sarah had Isaac. And so by the time the child was born, Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90. It's safe to say that God was patient, wasn't he? Abraham and Sarah were not patient. You know, God told him that every place his foot touched would be given to him. And that's quite an amazing promise. And yet this promise isn't fulfilled on Abraham's timetable either, because Abraham traveled all over to many places during his life. But really the only place that he owned in the end was his cemetery plot. The promise would be kept, but it didn't turn out the way Abraham would have expected it to turn out. Abraham's descendants would leave the promised land 400 years later, but they would return. So they would get the promised land, they would get the land, but God wasn't in a hurry. It was done on his timetable. Israel, the idea of Israel becoming a great nation was going to take an event that took even longer time. After 400 years in Egypt, the people would wander the wilderness for 40 years. And then after they entered the promised land, they remained a weak and immature nation for many years. And so you can read about this in the book of Judges. In reality, Israel didn't become a great nation for 900 years. That's patience. The more you look at the stories in the Bible, the easier it is to see that God doesn't do things in a hurry. And so let's look at the story of David. God had Samuel anoint the young man to be the second king of Israel. David didn't seek the job. God sought him out for the job. And so I can only imagine when David heard he was going to be king, just all the visions of grandeur filled his head after he was anointed to be the new king. But again, God's timetable was different. David was anointed king, and then Saul chased him to kill him for many years. So you're getting a picture of how God's timetable is different than our timetable. God's timetable was much different than David's timetable. God is much more patient than we are. In the New Testament, we know Jesus spent 33 years on the earth. If I had been the one establishing the plan to send a Savior to the earth, I would have had him hit the ground running. I mean, 33 years is a short life, right? And I would think he should make every minute count. But again, God's perspective is different than mine and yours. He was more patient. Jesus waited 30 years after his birth to start his public ministry. So most of us find it difficult to be kept waiting an hour, don't we? But God works at his own speed, not our speed. As I was studying patience, I was reminded of one of my favorite Bible verses. But they that wait, meaning patience, upon the Lord, should renew their strength. They shall not mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So if you want to fly, if you want to run, if you want to walk, you have to learn to wait on God. You have to learn to live on God's timetable. Again, the word wait here is referring to patience and relying on God's timing and not our timing. I think patience, one of the reasons that patience is difficult for us to attain is because it goes against every bit of our human nature. We're born impatient. We're not born patiently. When a baby wakes up in the middle of the night and is hungry and its diaper is wet, and he doesn't lay there and think, I know mom and dad are tired, and so I'm just going to lay here for a little while, wait till it's a little bit more convenient to let them know I'm hungry or my diaper needs to be changed. That's not what happens. Babies are impatient. The baby cries impatiently and continues to cry until he gets his needs met. Children aren't very impatient. How about a little four-year-old boy who was traveling with his mother and kept asking the same question over and over? You know what it is, right? Are we there yet? When are we going to get there? When are we going to get there? And finally, the mother got so irritated, she said, we still have 90 miles to go, so don't ask me again when we're going to get there. And the boy sat silent for a little bit, and then he timidly asked Mom, Mom, will I still be four when we get there? So patient, we're not born patient creatures, are we? And even as, so we can laugh about children crying and screaming at night and kids in the grocery store being impatient and kids in the car being impatient, but how many of us have the same behaviors still as adults? A second reason why developing patience is difficult is because we have a lot of weeds of pride, selfishness, anger that can choke out the fruit of patience in our lives. Another funny story. I think this is my last funny story. His car was stalled in heavy traffic just as the light turned green. And so you know what happened, right? Everyone behind him started beeping the horn. So as he was trying to frantically start his car, every car behind him was honking their horns. And regardless of how hard he tried to start his car, he couldn't get it started before the light turned red. And so the people behind him never slacked off the horn. They just kept honking the horn. And so he finally got out of his car and he walked back to the driver right behind him who had been laying on the horn, even though he could hear the man probably starting his engine. And he politely said to the man, I'm sorry, but I can't seem to get my car started. Would you mind trying to start my car for me, and I'll blow the horn for you this time? Patience is difficult to develop because in our culture, we're it's contradictory to our culture. We don't live in a relaxed culture. If you go to most third world countries, you'll find a much different lifestyle than you do here. They're more laid back. They think whatever happens is going to happen. It'll be all right. And they wonder why we're so uptight and why we're rushing and why we have to get things done. It's because we're on this fast track and on a rat race. We're in a world of fast food, quick print, expressways, 10-minute oil changes, and microwaves, right? So, So how does patience work? We're not going to hit that one. We just talked. We'll get to there. I was way ahead of myself. So how does patience work? I've been trying to lay groundwork as to what patience is all about up to this point, but now I want to give you something practical. So how does patience work in the United States in 2014? Does it exist, right? How does it work in your life and in my life? I think it's even more of a challenge, again, in our culture because of the way that we approach time. We live by the clock, don't we? I don't know how many times, even if you're not busy, how many times during the day do you look at a clock? You probably can't count the number of times you look at a clock. If you live in other countries or visit other countries, you'll see there's not very many clocks. They don't have watches on. They don't live by the clock like you and I do. It's the way we measure nearly everything we do in a typical day is by the clock. Our concept of time is completely different and foreign to those in the Middle Ages. In those days, they didn't think in terms of hours, minutes, and seconds like we did. And just a bit of trivia, the concept of a second didn't even appear till in the 1700s. So they didn't even think about seconds in the 1700s. And now we go to our microwave and put in 30 seconds. So it's our desire to accomplish all that we can by the clock. We live by the clock. Many of us make lists, right, Jim? Try to determine how long the things on our list will take to get done. And it's not wrong to make lists, but it can get in the way of what's important. The good thing about making a list is that it'll help you get more done. And so I'm not putting down to-do lists. I think it's important to have to-do lists. I have to-do lists. I've been taught in school to have to-do lists. However, the downside of a list is that even though it may help you get more done, it doesn't help you get the most important things in life done. A to-do list can't, our desire to mature as a Christian can't be put down on a to-do list that we say, okay, I got to do this today. You can't put mature as a Christian on there. It doesn't work because it doesn't fit on the clock. Yes, you can put your devotional time in there. Is that what you're referring to? But it's a lifestyle. What I'm saying is maturing as a Christian is a lifestyle. It's not a to-do action item like many of our other tasks are. To become a better husband or wife or mother, daughter, or husband or child is not something you can put on a to-do list because it's a lifestyle. And so, again, it's not wrong to make a to-do list. It's wrong to become so tied to that list that we don't have time for others and immediately become impatient with other people. I had to smile when I read this, the words of a pastor's wife. She said it wouldn't be hard to be patient if it weren't for other people. It wouldn't be hard to be patient if it weren't for other people. She was making a joke statement. But you know what? If we didn't have to deal with other people, patience wouldn't be a problem, would it? Because we could just do whatever we wanted when we wanted. But we wouldn't get as much done because we need each other. So are you convinced that you need to develop patience? Everyone should say yes. So I'm going to give you four suggestions. The first suggestion is the same with every one of these virtues. How did we develop love? How do we develop joy? How do we develop peace? How do we develop patience? They're all the same. We need to abide in Christ. We need to have the Spirit of Christ in us. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much, what? Fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Secondly, we can slow down. You can put the brakes on. You know, the company that advertises you deserve a break today is a fast food restaurant. Isn't that funny? Come on in, let's see how fast you can take a break and then get down the road again. The Lord came up with the idea of the Sabbath day, right? To help us to slow down. Our bodies need it, our minds need it, and our spirits need it. We need time just to sit and reflect on God and what He's doing. We need to absorb His teaching, take a walk, spend time in the park, watch children play, listen to the birds sing, plant a flower and watch it grow, read a book, those things. Third, we need to learn to overlook the little frustrations in life, the little thorns that get under our flesh. Warren Wiesbe tells about the time he picked up a hitchhiker who was kind of a hippie, and as they were riding along, they came to a detour that took them off the main road onto a twisting, hilling farm-to-market road, and Wearsby said, "I was soon fretting aloud, anxious because we were wasting so much time and complaining about the potholes in the road that we're being forced to use. Finally, the hitchhiker leaned over and said, 'Hey, man, don't sweat the small stuff.'" Well, that's a good lesson for all of us. Don't sweat the small stuff, right? Fourth, we need to learn to wait upon the Lord or trust in God's timing. There are big things in life that we're just not capable of dealing with. What do you do when the big stuff comes along? What do you do when you go to the doctor and he tells you that you have a serious illness? What do you do when you lose your job? What do you do when your children disappoint you? What do you do if your spouse leaves and your life is empty? The Bible says that there are some things that we just can't handle on our own, that we just can't deal with by ourselves, and that we'll never be able to handle without the Lord's help. The children of Israel is a perfect example when they left Egypt, of something that they couldn't do without God's help. Before them is this great body of water. They come to the Red Sea, and behind them they hear hoofbeats and chariot wheels of Pharaoh's army. So they're caught between the Red Sea and the army. What do you do, right? So let's just touch on the story. They said to Moses, "Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better off for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you'll see the deliverance of the Lord. The deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today will never see again." And so here's verse 14. It's in a very important verse. "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." So here's the Israelites coming out of Egypt, frantically standing at the Red Sea, impatiently going, "Now what? You led us here to die." And Moses said, "The Lord will fight for you. All you need to just be still." And so when we're dealing with critical things in life, the Lord will fight for us. We just need to be still. We don't have to rush and hurry and try to figure it all out and find the solution. It's critical that we be still and we wait on the Lord when it comes to the big stuff, because our God can handle it. It's important to receive the nourishment that only Christ can give. We can't produce patience unless we're abiding in Christ, unless we're walking in His steps, unless we're reading His Word, unless we're growing in prayer life, unless we're spending quality time in worship. So to summarize tonight, patience means giving others the time and space that we want to have ourselves. So if you want time and space from other people, then you should be giving time and space to people. It means hanging tough when we feel more like blowing up, having a long fuse, right? It means allowing God to help us to be patient with others just as we want Him to be patient with us. How many of us are so worried that when we do something wrong, God's wrath is going to strike us? You know, we shouldn't have to live that way, because He's not an impatient God. He's patient with us. We're going to make mistakes, but He's patient with us. So when other people make mistakes in your lives, you need to be patient with them, right? Just as Christ loves you, you love others. Just as God is patient with you, you need to be patient with others. And so, you know, and finally, it means that we just need to trust and wait on God sometimes. We don't know the answer. We don't have to do something. Every time there's a situation, it doesn't mean we have to react. We can say, "Okay, God, I'm going to put this in your hands. I'm just going to trust and I'm going to wait for you to solve this situation." And He'll help you get through that current circumstance. You know, in the world that we live in today, we can be great examples of patience to those around us, just as we can be great examples of people who love, great examples of people who have joy and peace. We can show people what patience is. They're going to say, you've got this problem. How are you so patient? And then you can tell them, because I have Christ living inside me. He gives me my patience. So let's pray. Yes.
You know, sometimes that list will help you to make it your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. This list?
Any list.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're right. So I wasn't putting down, you're talking about putting down a list of like devotion, doing your devotions and prayer time and.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That can.
Because that'll help it develop into.
Right. You're talking the to-do list, yeah.
Yeah.
And I put that on my calendar. I put my prayer time on my calendar, otherwise I miss it. But the whole attitude, the Christian attitude, can't be developed from a list. It can be helped by living those things. But my point was, we're so, as Americans, list and clock oriented, that if we live on that all the time, that we can't effectively grow and have the relationship with God that we need to. So thank you, Jim.